Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody, and I got some good news for you.
You do?
I do. Monday, next Monday is my birthday, so I'm going to give you the day off. I'm going to give the whole country a day off on Monday.
You're going to give the whole country? Boy, you got such power.
I do now. It's my birthday, and y'all can just take it off and enjoy it. So, there you go. Well, if you want to work, that's up to you, of course.
Okay.
I just give everybody, the federal workers, state workers, get the whole time off with pay because it's my birthday. So there you go.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right. But we won't be able to sing happy birthday to you until Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's okay. I don't mind if you forget it. I'm trying to.
I love remembering my birthday. It's the same every year.
Yeah, well, that's called you don't get any older.
I turn 39 every year.
I hear you.
Not a bad deal. Anyway, we had a good deal in gold today. We have gold up 260 at 1,971, but it was up 20. The high for the day was 1993. Hey, we'll take 1971. Very happy with that. Silver had the same kind of a day, was approaching $29, but they did bring it back. Right now, we're currently down 9 cents at $28.15. The platinum was up 14 at $950. Palladium was up 26 at $2,309. The USDX today, that's why we saw a little bit of a reversal in gold today, was up 0.17, 92.31. I mean, I was ready to break into 91 again. So it's interesting. You don't hear a lot. You hear a lot of talk on inflation. You hear a lot of talk on, how great the Dow is and all this kind of stuff. But it's a whisper when it comes to the dollar. Even Larry Kudlow hasn't even said much. Crude oil today is up 26 cents at $42.87. And I guess Mnuchin was being interviewed today on the Hill about the stimulus and so forth. Didn't have a chance to follow it. We've been hectic here at Discount Gold and Silver, but be interesting to see later on what happened there, if anything. The stock markets today, and the Dow was down triple digits, but now it's up triple digits. 215 points at 28,645. The NASDAQ is up 164 at 11,939. The S&P is up 26 at 3,526. 10-year yield, 0.67%. Mixed bag of the European and Asian markets, not a whole lot going over there. London was down almost 2%. And that's pretty much it. I think one of the most questions I'm asked is, what do I think about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? There's folks out there saying that Bitcoin is the only place that's to be, and it's the new safe haven, and everybody's putting all their money into Bitcoin. And everybody asks me about Bitcoin, and I don't know why they do, because they should know what answer I'm going to give them. And maybe it's just they just want confirmation of what their decision is, because they know I'm going to say, why would anybody want to get Bitcoin? It's nothing. It's digits. It's no different than the government's digits that, we see and talk about on a daily basis. Oh, but it's different because they can only issue. It's digits. It's nothing. What do you get for it? It's a Ponzi scheme. They need to have all new buyers in order to push the price up. When those new buyers no longer exist, what happens? The price drops. They have to have a constant flow of new buyers in order to keep the price going. When the stock market crashed in March, what did the Bitcoin do? I think it followed the Dow. And even if gold did follow the Dow for a little bit before it turned around, it's still real. You've got something in your hand. It's real money. Real. It just baffles me, Butch.
I know, and I'm hearing
how people can get caught up on just, and hey, if you bought Bitcoin, you know, it's 4, 5, 6, 7,000. Why wouldn't you get out now and take your profit? And that's the problem. People never take their profits, and then you lose it.
Well, I've heard some experts saying that China is going to go to Bitcoin first. It's going to go to digital currency first, I should say.
I don't care. I don't care if, you know.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, but China's, you know, of course, China will be the one to lead the way. I mean, that's they're the ones who control everything in the country. It's a communist nation. So if they go digital, well, the nations follow. It very well could be. But it's still nothing.
But you know what? To me, I think China can go digital. They have so many poor people in that country that don't have computers. I mean, you're talking about how many billions of people China, I don't know the exact population anymore, but it's over a billion. You think every one of them is computer literate? Have you forgotten about all the peasants who work out in all these outer lines sitting? You think they have computers, but they buy things? So no, I just don't believe that China's going to be the first one. They might find it, and maybe their, what's their little program that they do, Butch, where, you know, it's all based on how good of a little Chinaman you are.
Oh, yeah, the credit.
Their
credit,
social credit scoring.
Score, yes.
Maybe those people might be able to have a crypto or a Bitcoin or a government so forth, but, you know, not the rest of the country. I can't imagine. Not when I have a customer who married a Chinese lady, and they go to China a lot. And when he talked to me, he says, "What's going on in the news?" I says, "Well, you got internet over there." He says, "It takes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. For us to find out what's going on in the rest of the world." So how's that work with Bitcoin? So, you know, I don't know, Butch.
Well, Bitcoin, in my opinion, and in my opinion, a dollar and a half by a cup of coffee about anywhere, my opinion, Bitcoin is less valuable than a fiat currency. The fiat currency, you got a piece of paper in your hand. Bitcoin, you have nothing.
That's what I said this morning.
You know, you have nothing. Paper, you can lease light a fire with it. Bitcoin, you can't do anything with it, you know.
Or toilet paper.
Yeah, toilet paper, exactly. So, yes, I don't know. I don't know how it's got along this far, to tell you the truth. But I just sit back and marvel at that, because it's really nothing with nothing to show for it. It's digital on computer. If they lose your computer records, you're trusting somebody else with all your wealth. And you know nobody wants to cheat you with your wealth, of course. No government would take it. So, but you trust somebody else with your wealth on a computer site somewhere, a computer database. If it's wiped out, you're wiped out. That's the way it goes. If you have gold and silver in your possession, you're not going to be wiped out because the economy drops. You still got something tangible in your hand. That's the way I see it. Maybe I'm just ignorant, but that's the way I see it. Something that's in control by somebody else is not yours.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. But anyway, so what's next?
Well, if gold won such a good deal, I just got this $16 billion Ohio Police and Fire Department funds approved a 5% allocation for gold. They're going to invest 5% of this fire department fund and police fund into gold. They're following the example of, you know, Warren Buffett with that, and that's a hedge against inflation. That's what the article says. They're investing in gold as a hedge against inflation. Melody Susan, I've heard that somewhere before.
You did?
I did. I'm pretty sure. I think it may come from you.
Oh.
So imagine that they have Ohio now. It hadn't a sense. to invest $16 billion of their funds into gold to hedge against inflation with the police and fire department's funds. So maybe that should make you stop and think a little bit about the worth of it. If they're willing to put money, before these people you used to scoff at the idea of gold and silver, but not so much anymore because they realize there's something here that's going to be of value no matter what happens. So I mean, a piece of paper or a digital computer, you can say, well, my retirement fund is this, this, and this, but where is it? Is it in your hand? I hate to say it this way, but even Social Security is not in my hand.
No.
It's not in my hand. It's really not mine until I get it, until it goes through the bank and it's cash. And it's not really mine. If they want to cut back on it, what really can we do about it?
There's nothing, absolutely nothing.
So there you go. Anytime you trust somebody else with your wealth, your ways of making a living, paying your bills, you're not a free man or woman. You're at their service to do what they say in order to get your next meal. That's not being free. That is called slavery. Not just how I mean. Maybe we should demand reparations. We've been enslaved this system for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that, we going on that for a long time. The 14th Amendment set nobody free to enslave the whole nation, but nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. So it's just what we see happening. But again, when your wealth in somebody else's hand, it's not your wealth. If they control it, you stop and think what I just said. If it's yours, why don't you control it? That makes sense?
Absolutely.
So if they control it, is it really yours? Obviously not. They say it's ours, but what's in their hands, it's really theirs to do with as they please. And they do. They truly, truly do. So there you go. And 70% of Americans are demanding another bailout. Once you give away a freebie, it's awful hard to stop that. It really is. Once people are trained that they can get something for nothing, it's hard to get them back off the government sugar tit to go out on their own. And we see that everywhere. Do we not?
We do. And the thing of it is also, I mean, it's number one, they probably gave away too much to begin with because, yeah, I mean, you're getting $2,400 a month in addition to your unemployment. That's, you know, maybe it seems like a lot. Maybe it's not when you're trying to survive, when you have four kids and so forth and whatnot, but your daycare quit. Well, you know, but I don't know, Butch. It's just like, it doesn't seem like there's any right answers anymore.
What the right answers and doing the right thing would hurt now.
Yeah.
It would take surgery to get it fixed now.
Yeah,
and no one likes surgery. There was a time when it may have been fixed very easily, but not any longer. It's too late to fix it, quite honest with you. I don't know. That sounds like doom and gloom. No, it's reality. It's too late to fix it. We'll never get the debt paid off, and they'll never get things back in control the way they could have been, should have been. Yeah. We started blowing it 100 years ago, actually. Not quite that far, but we started blowing that window 80, 90 years ago. Yeah. And it's way too late to turn it back now.
Yeah.
I know that's not pleasant, but it is what it is.
Did you see these headlines about President Trump? About a possible mini-stroke, sent him to the hospital, dragging his right leg?
He said he denied it. So yeah. I don't know. He said denied. I have no idea.
I didn't have a chance to look at the video dragging his right leg.
I haven't seen that either. But I did read the article. And I can't say whether it happened or not, of course, for sure. I guess eventually the truth will come out. But who do you believe? You know, which side do you believe?
I know.
I don't believe either side. So, I mean, I'd almost have to see it to know the truth of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad when you live in a country where you can't believe any source, even the president himself. You can't. And I know it makes some people mad and say that. I really don't care. And I hear over and over again, well, Trump, DJT, yeah, is the best we got. Folks, that ain't good enough. Doesn't work that way anymore. But nonetheless, when you can't believe any of the sources, it kind of leaves you in limbo on what you need to say and do. So I don't know whether he had a stroke or not. I have no idea. I cannot prove or disprove it. Maybe one day see him dragging his leg, maybe we'll see it. But until then, I don't know.
And, you know, it's even funny, too, if you look at the video. I mean, I remember seeing a lot of videos of other people. You can slow them down. You can do this. I mean, you could stumble. And, you know, it could look like something totally different. So it's, you know, who's to say even if he did stumble or something like that, or it looked like he dragged it, that it really was from a mini stroke or whatever.
Well, I can say this about him.
He did take a trip to Walter Reed Hospital last year.
Well, that but then they do that every year for a checkup anyway.
I don't think it was an unscheduled visit.
Oh, okay, all right. But I just know that I have to say this about Trump. He's been the most lambasted president I've ever had in my lifetime. He has taken more hits and beatings than any president I've ever known. So whether that's good or bad, I can't say for sure. Whether he's actually hurt somebody and made them mad because he's trying to change things, I don't know. But they certainly have come after him hard in a lot of different levels. If he sneezes, it's analyzed. So it's hard to say. Hard to say.
What's next?
Well, this one, I was looking, this is a sad statement, but pickup line in record numbers at Alameda County Food Bank in COVID economy, the pandemic has pushed food and insecurity to levels not seen in decades. I don't think they've ever been seen that way before. People relying more than ever on food banks. We never seen anything like this in 35 years in business. Each distribution is serving well over 1,000 cars 3 times a week. Think about that, Melody. 1,000 cars each center 3 times a week, over 1,000 cars per. What if the food banks dry up? And it's possible it could happen. What then? I mean, we're back in the breadlines of the Depression. Even with the bailouts, people can't make it. So they get in line up to 1,000 cars per time each day, 3 days a week, they're servicing. That's a lot of people, Melody Cedarstrom, depending on handouts. Is it not?
It certainly is.
Now, thank God, you know, we never had to do that. Maybe we never will. Probably we don't. But these people, maybe some are bum, maybe are just taking advantage of it. That's always possible. But some of them do need it. So where do they go if this dries up?
We'll find out. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I just want to bring this in before we move on to what you wanted to talk about. Generosity can make us live longer.
I saw that.
Yeah, how about that? It's kind of interesting. It was a new paper that was published yesterday in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. And they said there's a linear relationship between the amount and frequency of wealth transfers and the lengths of individuals' lives. So, at the beginning of life, you are reliant on others, and it's a good idea to help others throughout the course of our lives. So,
my birthday's Monday. Don't forget that. You like to live 10 years longer? My birthday's Monday.
The researchers' goal was to track data on how every individual in a given society consumes and saves. Intergenerational wealth transfers can include money, but they can also include houses, benefits, or time. So you can also donate your time.
Time's important. That's a very valuable commodity.
It really is, and we just waste so much of it.
We do.
You have the biggest stealer of time is computers.
Oh, yeah. Computers and TVs and video games, and you're right. And sometimes you don't stop and think that your life is measured in time. So how much do you want to waste of it?
France and Japan. It was Western Europe and Japan ranked highest on data linking resource sharing and lower mortality levels. France and Japan, the nations with the lowest mortality risk, showed the highest average individual wealth transfers. These countries shared between 68% and 69% of their lifetime income. Wow. While reporting mortality rates about twice as low as China and Turkey, where people shared about 44% and 48% of their lifetime earnings. South American countries also ranked high in terms of generosity. On the low side of the spectrum, countries in sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia were those in which people were least able to share portions of their lifetime earnings. So it doesn't show. I was trying to see if they had anything in here about the U.S. No, not really. So I guess we didn't rank very well, probably.
Well, the U.S. used to be one of the biggest givers to other nations of any nation in the world. Yeah. Maybe that's changing now.
Maybe. I found that kind of interesting.
It makes kind of sense in a way. I can see that. I really can. People that are generous generally are more contented, happy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's the key, because people who are happier are subsequently healthier.
That's true. Yeah. The Bible says the merry heart worketh good like a medicine. Well, kind of adds up, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, it does.
It took science thousands of years to figure it out. God knew from the beginning. So, anyway.
Yeah.
There you go. And
alrighty.
Pandemic brings hard times for farmers. Now, this is, again, the poor farmers. It says, worsening hunger. UN Food and Agriculture Organization estimated the number of 132 men acutely malnourished children at 6.7 million. So undernourished, 132 million with acutely malnourished children worldwide, 6.7 million people. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, I guess, out of 7 billion. But we're talking about 140 40 million people here that are hungry, some really worse than others, and this pandemic is going to make it worse. That's why I was talking about the farmers that can't produce. Where's the food going to come from in the food lines? You know, that's something we got to think about once in a while, because food doesn't just come out of a grocery store. Somebody's got to grow it and take care of it and raise it and get it in a possession. Food doesn't just show up at the store and say, here we are, buy us. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to grow it and make it work. So I thought that was interesting and a sad statement. The farmers have been hammered in the United States, Melody, now for how many years with weather situations?
Yeah.
I mean, last year the floods and this year the storms. Food prices have got to go up. I don't know what happened to the wheat crop in Arkansas. I know last week you mentioned it could be cut by 50% or more. I haven't seen the results of that with the Hurricane Laura. But when food is scarce, the price goes up, and you certainly can't give it away then at that time, so if you don't have it. So I don't know. You got any opinion on that?
No, I mean, it's just another sign that we're seeing and experiencing the food supplies are diminishing, and with that comes higher prices. It's just it's not something that's just popping up once. This is a continued pressure on the farmers and everywhere else. So it's just not going to go away. Things are going to become more expensive, and hopefully they're there to be purchased at the higher price. But I mean, think of Butch. People have such short memories.
Yes.
Now, back in March, what were we short on? And look how people reacted. Yeah, it was just toilet paper. Yeah, it was just Clorox. It was just, you couldn't find chicken in the stores. And there were some items, but there was always something that you could buy. Well, what if that changes? And it's not temporary.
I don't know. We shop at a store called Food Lion, L-I-O-N, here in Somersville, West Virginia. I don't go to Walmart. I will not go to Walmart. I'll shop somewhere else. If they pay more, I'll pay more. But I've noticed in Food Lion even, commodities everybody always purchase. Like, we love pinto beans. I went to the store the other day, and Mark said, well, go pick up a sack of pinto beans. They didn't have any. Cornbread mix. Didn't have any. In the boxes, I forget what you call it, but didn't have any. Now, those are staples, that we buy quite often. I would think, well, obviously everybody else had too. Didn't have any. Somebody else would buy them too. But when he's low on beans, I got thinking, that's really something. Called beans is, in our area, if you don't like beans, you might be going hungry. And most people around here love pinto beans. So, but they were out of beans and cornbread mix. And another item or two that I looked for, it wasn't there. That's not a good sign. I don't know why they're low on them. I don't think they had a big run on them. They just didn't have them in stock. So that's unusual for our store. Maybe not where you are, but for our store to run out of something that's common of merchandise is unusual. Are you seeing that in your store?
Well, we also have Food Lions.
Okay.
So we shop at the same store.
So I don't know, are you seeing some shortages there too in your local food line?
There are bare shelves.
Yeah.
There's somebody told me locally they went, they had to get out, so they went to our little strip mall, and it's a little outlet mall. They went into like Bed Bath and Beyond. They went into Home Goods. They went into Marshalls. They went into, and they couldn't believe how empty these stores were. And that's not food. But the supplies weren't there.
I don't know about for you, but that's kind of a new thing for us, not to have stores stocked. I say that's unusual in a lot of places, not to have stores stocked.
So, I mean, we do have a lot of people coming into this area from outside, and a lot of them will rent, townhouses and condos, so they have to buy food and everything like that. So I don't know if we get more of a supply here because of that, because everything is allocated to certain areas and so forth.
Well,
so,
it's,
I don't know.
It's something, and it's something I don't remember seeing too much of in my lifetime. But
no, I don't.
It is here now.
I don't ever remember seeing empty shelves.
No, I don't either. Unless there's a hurricane or something, then that happens.
And we see pictures, yeah.
Yeah, we see pictures, and it's never happened in our area. Oh. That just thought was interesting. I did. Mm-hmm. And this article is really sad, but it tells the mindset of some people. While San Francisco is in trouble, 19,000 city employees earned $150,000 a year or more in pay and perks. Home to Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom, and Kamala Harris. Imagine that. Cities that are wasting or going broke are homes to those three people. Just imagine that. Truck drivers, city truck drivers, earn $262,898, Melody. Let that sink in a second. A city truck driver. Painters, $270,190. Firefighters, $316,306. Plumbing supervisors, $348,291. Deputy sheriff, one of them earned $574,595 per year. Why is the city going broke? And why is taxes going up? Could that have anything to do with that? 19,000, averaging $150,000 a year and more in perks. 19,000 workers. That's well over $1 billion. Now that's a lot of money, Melody Seastrom.
Yes, it is.
I can't imagine a truck driver getting $262,000 a year for driving a city truck, or a painter getting $270,000 a year for painting. I mean, why? What is it?
Because they can.
It has to be it. But could it be that, and I know this is going to make people angry, but Democratic leadership seems to have a tendency to do that, to pay more than they can afford, than what did they do? We're going to share it in minutes, and places are shutting down because just people leaving the states. They increase taxes. They know they can't cover it, but they still get the benefits and the money. Now, I don't know what they expect to gain out of it. The workers, I'm sure, are not that better quality, and I'm not picking them. I'm sure they're not doing a good job. I'm sure of that. But a fireman is a fireman is a fireman if you're doing a good job. A deputy sheriff, no matter where he's at, if you're doing a good job, that's what they are. A painter's a painter's a painter. How come they deserve 5 or 6 times more than the average painter in a country? I mean, what is it? What makes it worth more? What does San Francisco City have to offer them? What makes it such a special place to pay this kind of money? And people are homeless, using streets for bathrooms. Crime is crime-ridden. Drugs are rampant. What does it say about society?
Well, I mean, the cost of living in San Francisco is so high. So, you know, on a relative basis, I mean, you are going to have higher wages there. But yeah, you're right.
Cost of living is high because wages are high. People make more, so they raise prices.
Well, I don't know which is which, but... it's so out of touch, so out of reality.
It is. But stop and think about it. If somebody had a place to rent, they were renting for $3,000 a month, and nobody had the money, they'd have to drop down $1,000 a month get to rent it, wouldn't they? Or sell it. So if the money isn't there, people can't spend it, so the prices have to come down. Call that whatever, any way you look at it, it maybe isn't pleasant to think about.
Yeah, but there's always, but we live in a world that there is always someone that can rent it. I mean, you're living in Silicon Valley where there's always someone that's making a decent living, and the technology and so forth. I don't know.
It's huge mess.
To me, it's a sign, Butch, just how out of touch.
Yes.
This whole world is, and the difference, the equality factor, inequality. Is just so out of touch.
It is.
It's a sign of the reality of everything.
Well, the insanity and the division of the country is growing every day. But here's somebody I have to feel sorry for. I guess you heard that Mark Zuckerberg actually lost money compared to Elon Musk.
My heart
Elon
bleeds.
Elon Musk passed him now. He's now richer than Mark Zuckerberg. After his Tesla stock rose 475% this year, He's now worth $111.3 billion. Poor old Zuckerberg is only worth $110.5 billion. I don't know how he's going to struggle by with that.
I don't know. Let me get my violin.
I mean, talk about unequal. That's about as unequal I can imagine in this country, you know? Golly.
Golly.
I mean, we're laughing about that, but think about that. We're talking about billions of dollars, and most people work a whole life not make a million. That's something to think about. It is. I'm not saying they didn't earn it. I'm not saying they didn't do something to earn it. If they work for it, more power to them. But that's just a huge, huge difference between those folks and you and me. You know that.
Yes, I do.
And before we go to break, I shared that New Jersey is becoming the most hated state as households flee in record numbers. Out of every 10 moves, 7 have been households leaving the state. Think about that. 7 out of 10 moves in the state are people leaving the state of New Jersey. 3 times more moved out than moved in. They put a tax on millionaires. Raised gasoline tax 22.5%, which brings the total to 250% increase in the last 4 years. Think about that. And now a tax on high frequency trades. It's obvious that to everyone except the Democratic leadership that New Jersey is in trouble. Again, Democrats like in San Francisco, Democrats in charge. I'm not picking on Democrats, folks. I have very little use for the rhinos either. But obviously, New Jersey's Democratic leadership has taxed people to the point that 7 out of every 10 moves, there's somebody leaving the state because they're taxed to death. They're going to places like South Carolina, other places where taxes are lower, and trying to survive. Now, they're the lucky ones that are blessed that can do that. A lot of them are, you know, they have jobs, whatever. They just can't pack up and leave. They're not qualified for something else somewhere else. So they got to stay. But that is a huge move, Melody. 7 out of 10 that move are leaving the state.
That's amazing. It's like, how can that be?
I know. How can that be?
Where are they going? I mean, particularly now in this world.
They're going to South Carolina and other places. And by the way, this is a different topic. I didn't copy the headline off. But people are leaving this country and becoming ex-citizens at a very rapid pace. They're getting out of America and going to other places and doing away with American citizenship. What's that mean? I'm not going to get it. I don't know. But something is not quite like it used to be. People used to want to come here. Well, they still do if they get a handout. But a lot of them are leaving this country now, too. But New Jersey is really going downhill fast. And it's break time.
And then you wonder what's going to take over. Hey, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch, it seems like a Monday for some reason. I don't know why. But
well, you know it's not because I'm here. I'm here. You know it's not.
I know it's not. You know, I was looking at two articles, and one was where the governor of California signs eviction moratorium for renters. He's extending it for another 5 months. And the other article that I was reading, and this is all part of it, was markets are unprepared for a wave of defaults that will be coming in the next months. And we continue to see a growing gap between what the markets are expecting and a likely wave of defaults among struggling companies, and along with, you know, these tenants. Or the people who own these properties? What are they going to do? They're going to file bankruptcy. They're going to default. The baseline scenario, which would see 229 speculative grade companies default, involved a range of possible outcomes, from a few as 74 defaults to as many as 284. And this is in the next, the defaults in that sector, which he's talking about, speculative grade companies. He says it's jumping from, it would rise from 4.4% to 12.5%.
At least.
So again, the markets, it's unprepared. No one is prepared for what is coming, particularly the markets.
How do you prepare, Melody, for something like the landlords? How could they prepare for this? What could they have done to even know this is going to happen? You see what I'm saying? Maybe some of them are quite wealthy, that's fine. A lot of them, I know, that have a few properties to rent, are not wealthy people, depending on their income to pay for their livelihood. So how would they prepare for 5 months more without being paid for what they own?
I don't know if insurance policies, business interruption, but I don't know if business interruption would cover viruses or you know, pandemics. I think that's the big problem. And I personally believe that's one of the reasons why they wanted to name this a pandemic, because it exempts insurance policies. I think it protects insurance companies. So, saving, wow, not going into debt, that's what people are supposed to think. So you can weather the downtime, the bad time. I mean, if you have rental properties, you have to know that perhaps there's a time when you won't have a renter in there.
That's true. But how do you plan for this to be in what now? About 9 months without rent? Would that be fair to say that?
Six months.
6 months? Okay. 6 months. Well, 6 months without any income. That's a huge hit. It's hard to save that kind of money.
Yeah, but you would think that people would prepare. I mean, if there's some sort of a weather event, or anything, that you might not have a renter in there for a year. That's what people should plan for. What is, like what I always say, what is worst case scenario?
I totally agree.
What people need to plan for. Worst case scenarios usually don't happen. But if they do, you're good.
And the people that do the rent, maybe I'd consider maybe 1 month I won't be working, I should save money for rent next month. I mean, those are things that nobody really thinks about.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
You don't think about losing your job. You just don't think of that. And, you know, we're talking about New Jersey losing people. The New York City exodus. Fleet of moving trucks arrive in Upper West Side while dozens wait in line. Suing the city after thousands of homeless were put up in luxury hotels in their neighborhoods to help stop COVID-19. Along with that influx of homeless, they have an increase in crime, violence, drug use. And public urination and feces and prostitution, and even sex offenders are now being housed in luxury motels or hotels in New York City, and people are packing up and leaving that part of town. Now, there's something wrong with the picture with a taxpayer getting double whammied. Who's paying for those motels? The city's not, or they might write a check for it, but the city doesn't produce any money to pay for that. Who pays for that? The New York City residents pay for that. So what's fair about that? Any comments on that one?
Nope.
I mean, that would make him, that'd make me angry too, Mel. If I'm making it, I'm trying to take care of it, live in a decent neighborhood, and they truck in homeless that are druggies and violent offenders and prostitutes, and I end up paying for their stay in a luxury hotel, that made me kind of upset too.
Yeah, but some of that money is probably also coming from federal government.
Well, who's paying for that?
Yeah, you and me.
That's exactly right. Yep. Now, this next article, I want you to look now. We're 2 months away from an election. That's hard to believe. And it seems like last year, 2016, was here. Doesn't seem like it's been 4 years, does it?
Oh, I don't know. Seems longer.
Doesn't seem longer to you. Doesn't like it to me.
Seem longer.
2 months away. But now listen to this one and see if this could add up something bigger on Election Day. Judge sides with Trump campaign, voids 50,000 ballot requests in Iowa County. Judge Ian Thornhill ordered Linn County auditor to notify the affected voters in writing that their absentee ballot requests cannot be processed because they should not have been pre-filled with personal info. They will have to fill out new requests to vote on Election Day. What could this mean with vote-in ballots? How many times are you going to hear these ballots were not correctly filled out? How many times are you going to hear that the ballots were lost? Melly, we are opening up a can of worms here with this ballot election. You know that, vote the mail-in election. We're opening up a can of worms here. It's not going to just, it's going to go so easy. We'll just count them and we'll know who won the next day. Folks, I promise you, no matter who they say wins, there's going to be a court fight. Even Hillary Clinton told Biden, if you lose, don't concede. We'll take them to court. You heard that, right?
Well, you know, this is about a bigger picture. The bigger picture is to change the Electoral College, the electoral vote. That's what it's all about.
Well, that's coming.
That's you know, so I ask myself, is it both sides? Is this just part of the drama? Bringing us to that point where probably both sides would say, yes, fix it? I don't know. But they want to change. They want to change it. And this is a way to get that done.
Well,
is it really about
the
election, or is it about the way we vote?
That's a good point, and you know they won't do it with Electoral College. You know that, so
sure they do.
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I don't have any idea on that. I really don't want to say. But this next article is kind of scary. Major cities are defunding police forces, plan to request UN police officers to fill the gap. Did you hear what I said, folks? The UN Police Training Center is in China. The UN Police Training Center is in China. Major cities are defunding the police forces and asking for UN Chinese-trained police forces to come in and maintain law and order. Melly, that is absolutely a scary proposition, is it not?
Well, who's asking?
The city leaders are. They want to disband them and bring in UN peacekeeping forces. I guess they figure they'll be paid for by the UN.
They can't go around the federal government.
What can't they do nowadays?
Silly me.
Yeah, silly you. How dare you think
silly
that?
Me.
so, it's so absurd now. So everything is happening so absurd that there's really nothing that you can that you can set your foot on without it giving away with you. You don't know which way to go with that.
I know.
You don't. But that's scary. Look it up, folks. Look it up for yourself online somewhere. Find out what I'm talking about. And another article, we're going out of time very quickly here. Lawsuit against McDonald's for $1 billion because they said that McDonald's discriminated against black franchisees. So 52 former franchise owners accused the fast food giant of racial discrimination by steering them in depressed, crime-ridden neighborhoods. And McDonald's, of course, denies that. I guess everything today, no matter what it is, has to do with race problems. Everybody today is a racist if you don't agree with everything else. So I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. But it's just another nail in the coffin of a country's society whenever another thing to fight out in courts. So any comments on that?
No. I mean, it's... people are going to use it because they've now have that sympathy thing going across this nation, and you know everybody's going to use it. I saw where there was one couple in some hotel that were crying discrimination because they were black, and blah blah blah. The story continues. It's like you know.
Well,
when are people just going to? You know, and I hear this, well, you know, you didn't have to live 400 years and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, Butch, I just don't get it. Grow up.
They didn't have to live in it either. Nobody's been enslaved in this country since at least 1865. So get over it, folks. That's been 130, 40 years ago. Now let's move on.
And you know what? I get. You know, I was taught, you know, you get treated the way you act,
yes.
You know, the way you, and it's just like, if you resist arrest, what do you expect? And yeah, no doubt, yeah. I do believe that there is some, you know, I'm sure there is some racism and so forth, and, you know, that
both
goes
ways,
on.
By the way, both ways.
I get that.
Both ways.
Both ways.
Yep.
Absolutely.
This has been 165 years ago, folks, since this happened. Let's move on now. Another thing, Venezuela turns to gold mining to escape economic ruin. It says the movement in the protected areas around the Amazon to gold mines. They've more than tripled their land usage for gold mines in the last year or so, or less than a year. So Venezuela is going into gold mining, which I think is a viable move. I do. I don't know how much more gold they got down there. I hope they do it wisely, but gold mining is, I'd say right now, it's probably pretty profitable. But who's going to get it? The profits, not going to be the people, Melody. Somebody's going to make it, though. Corporations,
Iran.
Governments, you know. All right, that could be.
They're going to give it to Iran.
That very well could happen. One more article I want to share very quickly. CDC bombshell. Only 6% of COVID deaths from COVID only. The vast majority had an average of 2.6 serious additional diseases and over advanced age cases. So there's the average death for COVID alone by itself is 6% reported deaths. Now, so a vast majority of them have been because they had other serious diseases on top of that and an advanced age. I had a nurse tell me the other day, local nurse told me, every time the hospital declares a COVID case, they get $37,000 bonus from the Fed.
Wow.
The local nurse told me that. Every time they declare a COVID case, could this be money motivated? No, the hospitals wouldn't do that. Melanie, if they had 20 cases in the last 6 months of COVID, multiply that times $37,000, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, folks, we got to stop being so easily duped into believing all these things and look behind the doors and see what's really going on. Financially, our nation is not doing well at all. It isn't. And I know a lot of people personally that are not doing as well as they were just a few months ago because they're no longer working where the places are. They're closed. I talked to a lady that worked at Shoney's Restaurant just the other day. I talked to her in Somerville. She's in her 70s now, so she could retire anyway, but she didn't want to. She worked there 30-some years, I think almost 40 years. And she's out of work. She'd enjoyed working there. I don't care if you're 65, 25, or 85. If you enjoy working and you lose your job, you lose your job. So that's just a sad situation after all those years. But it's I guess it's closed for good. So with 200,000 businesses not going back in business now, that's a lot of people permanently out of work from those jobs anyway. Any comments, Melody?
No.
We're about out of time here, so I thought you might want to wrap it up and give me a little bit of your wisdom.
My wisdom?
Mm-hmm, if you can spare any.
Well, of course I have plenty of wisdom to spare. Come on. Anyway, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Silver Eagles are flowing like Niagara Falls. You know, it's just they're available. Premiums, they're still up there. They haven't changed that much. I think we're going to continue to see, premiums probably mellow out where they're at right about here. But give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Butch.
Welcome. I'll see you Thursday.
All righty. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.